The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In this Annunciation, Luke makes clear that God comes with good news for ordinary people from little known places. This king will not be born to royalty in a palace, but to common folk in a stall. Here, Luke highlights the role of the Spirit, a special emphasis in his gospel. I begin reading at verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O
Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text here from Luke's Gospel brings up an intriguing theological question, one of those that has been debated and discussed for centuries. It is, how can Jesus Christ be both fully God and both fully human? And we also mention in the Creed, or the words from the Creed come from here, when we say, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. It's been controversial, and how can, and I question too, how can Jesus be both fully God and both fully human? Jesus is not simply God in a human skin, play acting like a human, and he is not simply a human with godly powers. He is both fully God and fully human. It's a perplexing question of how can you be both, not half and half, but both fully at the same time. I have to admit, I don't lose any sleep over this. I just simply chalk it up as one of those mysteries, such as the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, of God being one God in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I just chalk it up to, I will find out in the life to come. Don't really understand, but we can simply believe that Jesus is both God and human. But this gospel story for today brings up another very interesting point, and that's Mary's response to the angel Gabriel when Gabriel makes that announcement to her. And I'm just amazed at her faith and of her confidence in being able to answer with, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Just think about this for a moment. Put yourself in Mary's shoes. Here she is, a young lady, and when I say young, I do mean young. Scholars believe her to be between the ages of maybe 15 or 16. Some even say younger than that. So really still a girl in many aspects. But here's the angel, the messenger, God's personal messenger, sent to her, and she's a poor young woman. I mean, put yourself in your shoes. I know if I was there, I'd be trembling with fear. What is the angel doing here? And then the angel speaks. He says, "Hail, O favored one." And I think at that point, maybe I'd have a little bit relief because I'd think, well, he's not talking to me. But think about Mary here in that situation of all of a sudden the angel appearing to her. And an angel tells her, "Do not be afraid, but I have good news for you. You're going to bear the Son of God. The Holy Spirit will come and overshadow you. And your son will be called Great, the Most High. He will inherit the throne of King David." All these great things. But there's also consequences for Mary. Mary has to think through these things. And it actually says here, she pondered those things. She had to think about them and consider them. Because there was a lot to consider. For one, she is engaged to be married. What is her fiancé going to say? What is Joseph going to say when he finds out that she's pregnant and he's not the father? Will he still love her? Will he still want her? Will he still be willing to marry her? Fortunately, that dilemma is saved because the angel also visits Joseph in a dream and tells him what's going on. But then there's other consequences to it too. She is an unmarried woman who will be having a child. Now, in our day and age, much of that stigma has been lost. And it's very common for unwed mothers to have children. But in that day and age, it was a definite no-no. It just was not done. As a matter of fact, it was illegal. The consequences for an unwed mother was not that she would move in with her parents and grandma would raise the child. The consequences were not that she would be sent away to have the baby somewhere in secret and the baby be put up for adoption. The option was not that she would have the child and go on welfare. The option was not that Papa would grab his shotgun and have the young man marry the girl. The option or the consequence to this of a unmarried woman having a child was stoning to death. That's what Mary faced by her. But yet, she still said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." What an amazing response. What an amazing faith that Mary had to be able to say that, to be able to trust God. That even though she's facing these consequences, these strict consequences, she was still willing to say, "Yes, Lord, I will be your servant. I will do what you ask me to do." Mary was willing to bear the Christ child. And as we put ourselves in those shoes of Mary, the same question is asked of us. Are you willing to bear that Christ? And actually, that's more than just an academic question, because we are actually asked to bear Christ. When Jesus tells his followers, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit," he is calling us to bear Christ. Or when Jesus told his disciples, "Take up your cross and follow me." We are the body of Christ, and we are called to bear Christ to the rest of this world. Sometimes that's fairly easy. Sometimes as we gather for worship, it's easy to bear witness that we are Christians. And we pray together. We sing the hymns together. We may talk together afterwards at Sunday school. We have discussions. We learn about Christ. We are here together. And it's easy to bear witness because we are amongst other Christians. Other times it may be a little harder. As you go home, you are also called to bear witness to your family. And much of the time that too is fairly easy if you live within a Christian family. But there are some families that are divided. And so it makes it a little bit tougher to bear Christ in your own homes. Or as you go out into society or into the world, sometimes that's easy. Sometimes the situations present itself where you are able to lend a helping hand. And people recognize that you are a Christian and you are doing these out of Christian acts. And many times Christian acts go along with the words because people are open then to hear that story of Christ when they see how sincere you are in your love, willing to help. Other times it gets to be a little bit more difficult. People may give you funny looks if you say a prayer in a public place, such as a restaurant or at school. People may reject you or your story if you tell others who are not receptive to hear it. It gets a little tough sometimes to bear Christ in the world. I know I was reading an article out of the Lutheran Core newsletter this past week, and it was mentioning that some of the universities or colleges here in the United States are banning some of the Christian clubs and organizations, particularly when these clubs or organizations require that their leadership have strict standards, strict moral standards. The colleges and the universities, the administration say, you are being discriminatory. You are no longer allowed on campus. It's getting tougher in our society to bear Christ. Are we willing to bear those consequences? Are we willing to say, like Mary said, here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. And other places within this world, it is absolutely tough and even very dangerous. Let me tell you the story of Farhad Nadri. I learned about Farhad Nadri from Pastor Michael Gies, who is pastor in Lutheran Church there in Rosenberg. We had our deanery this week, and Pastor Michael was telling the story of Farhad. Farhad was his interpreter when Michael Gies was a military chaplain stationed in Afghanistan several years ago. Farhad interpreted for Pastor Michael. Since then, Michael has been discharged from the army and is serving in a local Lutheran congregation. Farhad went on to other things too. He started to work for a California-based relief agency there in Afghanistan. The boss of the place, the director of the place, was a South African national. Farhad and the rest of the staff were Christians. Now, in Afghanistan, the constitution there does not recognize Christianity, and so the Christians are not protected. The director of that agency sent Farhad to Sri Lanka for some training, for a three-day training seminar. While Farhad was out of the country, Taliban insurgents broke into the relief agency's office. They killed Farhad's boss. They killed a couple of other workers there in that agency office. And they killed the boss's two teenage children. They even killed the pet cat and dog. The boss's wife escaped murder. She simply was out of the office at that time. She was either running errands or doing work outside of the office. See, she has since gone back to South Africa. But Farhad, he is stuck in Sri Lanka. If he goes back to Afghanistan, he could be arrested for being a Christian because these Islamic insurgents also went through all the files at the relief agency and found the evidence that they are Christians and that they were promoting Christianity. If he goes back to Afghanistan, he faces being arrested. Or even worse, these Taliban groups, these insurgents, are hunting him. They're looking for him. He is on their hit squad. He is on their hit list. He has tough decisions to make. And he needs help sometimes. And our congregation has helped. The council help make a donation for living expenses, travel expenses, fees, whatever he needs in order to survive. Farhad does want to come to the United States. He wants to study and become a Lutheran pastor eventually. He continues to bear Christ, even facing arrest, even facing deportation, even facing death squads. He continues to bear Christ. This isn't an easy answer that Mary gives when Gabriel comes to her and asks her, "Will you bear this Christ?" And she says, "Yes, here I am, a servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word." God asks the same thing of us. Maybe not to bear that baby, but he calls us to bear Christ, to bear witness, to tell that story, to lend a helping hand, to help people along, to share that love, to continue in the faith. And when God calls us into service, maybe we too can answer, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.